Hey guys, how are y'all doing? How's your day going? And if you're just starting, how was your night? Hope you had or are having an amazing day. For those of you who don't know this yet, my name is Praise and you are tuned in to Creepypasta with Praise. Don't forget to like, share, subscribe, comment, and do whatever is needed to feed the algorithm. Today we're covering the mystery of one of the most infamous unsolved cases in American history, the Zodiac Killer. In this episode, we'll take a deep dive into the clues and cryptograms left by the elusive criminal. We'll try and shed some light on his decade-old case. We'll also explore the various theories about his identity, the possible motives behind the killings, and the legacy of fear he left in the Bay Area. We would also talk on some copycat killers that were inspired by this case. So if you're interested in that, do join us as we explore this chilling case and attempt to unravel the mystery of the Zodiac Killer. This is the puzzle, piecing together cold cases. The Zodiac Killer was a serial killer who operated in Northern California in the late 1960s and early 1970s. He is known to have killed at least 5 people, but he claimed to have killed many more. The Zodiac Killer gained popularity for his taunting letters and cryptograms sent to the police and the media, many of which remain unsolved to this day. One of the most enduring mysteries of the Zodiac case is his true identity. Despite an extensive investigation by law enforcement, no one has ever been conclusively identified as the killer. Over the years, many suspects have been considered, from convicted murderer Arthur Lay to a variety of other individuals with possible connections to the case. Some investigators have even theorized that the Zodiac Killer was actually multiple people working together. Another aspect of the Zodiac Killer's case that continues to fascinate and intrigue is the cryptograms which he left behind. These encoded messages have puzzled code breakers and persons who investigate crimes for decades, with only a few of them ever being definitely solved. Some researchers believe that the messages may contain clues to the Zodiac Killer's identities, while others believe that they are simply a means of tormenting the police and the public. Despite the passage of time, the Zodiac Killer's case remains one of the most captivating and perplexing unsolved mysteries in American history. The killer's identity, motives, and fate continue to be a subject of speculation and debate, and the terror he brought to Northern California still echoes in the public's imagination. Join us as we explore this chilling case and attempt to unravel the mysteries of the Zodiac Killer. The Zodiac Killer is confirmed to have killed at least 5 people between 1968 and 1969. The first confirmed victim was a high school student called David Faraday. Let me just quickly Google who is David Faraday, because I can swear I'm very familiar. Not David, who is Faraday? Let me just quickly check that out. Sorry, Faraday. I remember hearing this name in secondary school. Okay, Michael Faraday. He discovered electromagnetism. Okay, nice. So, anyways, The first confirmed victim was a high school student, David Faraday, who was 17 years old at the time of his attack. He was shot and killed in a parking lot in Benicia, California on December 20th, 1968. His girlfriend, Betty Lou Jensen, who was 16 years old as at that time, was also shot and killed. They were parked in a secluded area known as Lover's Lane in California when they were approached by a man who opened fire on their car. Michael Faraday was shot. David Faraday was shot in the head and died instantly, while Jensen was shot 5 times and died shortly after. The killer then fled the scene, leaving no apparent motive or clue to his identity. This marked the beginning of a terrifying crime spree that would continue for months, leaving a trail of death and fear throughout Northern California. Less than a month later, on July 4, 1969, the Zodiac Killer struck again, this time at Lake Herman Road near Benicia. So the person who he attacked this time was Darlene Ferrin, who was 20 years old at that time, and Michael McGill, who was 19 years old. When the victims... So these were the victims of the Zodiac Killer's second confirmed attack. They were sitting in Michael's car at a secluded spot. Also... at Success Park and Lake Herman Road near Benicia, California, when the killer approached them and opened fire. He was shot in the face and neck but managed to survive the attack by playing dead. Darlene was shot multiple times and died from her injuries at the scene. The attack on Darlene and Michael was significant in the Success case because it was the first time that the killer made direct contact with his victims. He approached their car and spoke to them before opening fire. Michael later described the killer as a white man in his mid-20s with short light brown hair and wearing horn-rimmed glasses. After the attack, the Zodiac Killer called the Vallejo Police Department from a payphone and claimed responsibility for the murders of David, Betty, and Darlene. He also provided details of the crime that had not been made public, convincing the police that he was the killer. And several weeks later, on July 31st, 1969, the Zodiac Killer sent a letter to the San Francisco Examiner claiming responsibility of the previous two attacks. He also threatened to kill more people if the newspaper didn't publish his letter on the front page. I know if you guys haven't watched episode 2 when I spoke about Eric and Lai Menendez, when I talked about like there were two types of people, two types of murderers basically. You had the one like who would do okay, there are three technically, the ones who don't talk about it, but you have the ones who want attention for their mother, and one of those is currently the Zodiac Killer, although for some reason he still managed to stay unidentified for so long. On September 27, 1969, the Zodiac Killer struck again, this time at Lake Berea Sea near Napa, California. He approached a college student, Brian Calvin Hartel, who was 20 years old at that time, and Cecilia Ann Shepherd, who was 22 years old, disguised in a black hood and robe, while they were picnicking, and tied them up at gunpoint. He then proceeded to stab them multiple times with a knife. Brian survived the attack, but Cecilia tragically died from her injuries 2 days later. Brian was able to give a description of the killer to the police, which helped create the famous composite sketch of the Zodiac Killer. So if you Google it, like that is like you see it every single place. It's one of the first results that always come out when you search for images of the Zodiac Killer. The Zodiac Killer later sent a letter to the Napa County Sheriff's Department claiming responsibility for the attack and included a piece of Brian's shirt as proof. The attack on Brian and Cecile was one of Zodiac's most brutal attacks, and it cemented his place in the annals of true crime history. The final confirmed victim of the Zodiac Killer was Paul Stein, a cab driver who was shot and killed in San Francisco on October 11, 1969. Paul Lee Stein was 29 years old as at that time and was working as a cab driver in San Francisco when he picked up a passenger who called himself John and requested to be driven to Presidio Heights neighborhood. During the ride, the Zodiac Killer shot him in the head with a 9mm Luger pistol and then took a piece of his blood-stained shirt as a trophy. The Zodiac Killer then walked away from the crime scene, only to be observed by witnesses who described him as a white male with brown hair and glasses. The killing of Paul Stein was significant for several reasons. First, it was the Zodiac's only attack in San Francisco, a city that would become forever linked with his killer's legacy. Secondly, it was the first attack in which the Zodiac provided direct evidence of his involvement, as he included a piece of Stein's shirt in the letter to the San Francisco Chronicle, which is like a newspaper, a printing press over there. Despite the evidence and witness count, the Zodiac killer was never identified or captured. The mystery of the Zodiac killer's true identity and the motive behind his attack continue to capture the public's imagination, and the case remains a subject of intense interest for true crime enthusiasts and investigators alike. There are several other potential victims that have been linked to the Zodiac killers. To the Zodiac killer based on similarities in the crime and the killer's modus operandi, but these cases have not been officially confirmed yet. One of the most notable potential victims is Cherry Jo Bates, a college student who was stabbed to death in Riverside, California in 1966. The killing had similar elements to the Zodiac killer's later crimes, including the use of a knife and the possible taunting of law enforcement in a series of letters sent after the murder. Other potential victims include Robert Domingos and Linda Edwards, who were shot and killed on a beach in Santa Barbara in 1963, and Kinkley Jones, who was kidnapped by a man matching the Zodiac killer's description in 1970s but managed to escape. In addition to the 1969 mailings, the Zodiac killer continued to communicate with law enforcement and the media throughout his killing spree. Here are some notable instances of further Zodiac killer communication. So on November 8, 1969, the Zodiac killer sent a letter to the San Francisco Chronicle in which he included a piece of the bloodstained clothing from one of his victims, which I mentioned earlier. In December 1969, he sent a letter to the Los Angeles Times in which he threatened to attack a school bus and provided specific details about how he planned to carry out the attack. On April 1970, the Zodiac killer sent a letter to the San Francisco Chronicle again, in which he included a cryptogram that he claimed would reveal his identity. The cryptogram was eventually solved, but the solution did not provide any clear identification of the killer. In July 1970, he sent a letter to San Francisco Examiner in which he claimed responsibility of the killing of a man named John Paul Martin and provided details about the crime that hadn't been released yet. In October 1970, he sent a letter to the San Francisco Chronicle in which he claimed to have committed a murder in the town of Riverside, California, and provided details about the crime that had been released to the public. However, the police were unable to confirm the existence of a murder in Riverside that matched the Zodiac killer's description. He also continued to communicate sporadically with the media and law enforcement throughout the 1970s, but his letters and cryptograms became less frequent and less detailed. The last confirmed Zodiac killer's communication was a letter sent to the San Francisco Chronicle in January 1974. If you want me to link pieces of all these letters and cryptograms which he sent, you can let me know if you're interested in that. I can combine everything and it would all be either in the description or on the blog, which if you are not checking out the blog, you should head over and do that right now. Alright, so before I talk on some of the suspects which were investigated back then, I'm just going to quickly give you some recent updates. So in April 2004, the case was marked as inactive. It was then reopened in March 2007 in Napa County and in the city of Riverside. In May 2018, the Vallejo Police Department announced their intentions to attempt to collect the Zodiac killer's DNA from the back of stamps he had used in his letters, but there is no new information on that as of today. They currently haven't made any arrests or any updates to the case. But yeah, the Zodiac killer's case has had many suspects over the years, but none have been definitely proven to be the killer. So here are some of the notable suspects in a random order. First one is Otto Leigh Allen. He was described as the most likely suspect because of his fascination with guns, knives, and the fact that he had a criminal history that included sexual assault. However, despite numerous investigations and interviews with him, no hard evidence had ever been found linking him directly to the crime. Every single thing was just circumstantial. The second is Richard Gaiko. Gaikowski, that's not an English name. He was a writer and former journalist who was briefly considered a suspect in the Zodiac Killer's case. He had a history of mental illness and had been fired from his job at a newspaper around the time when the killings had started. Some handwriting experts have also suggested that his handwriting matches that of the Zodiac Killer's letters. However, there is also no concrete evidence linking him to the crime. Next, we have Earl Van Best Jr., Van Best was the biological father of a woman named Deborah Perez, who claimed that he had told her on his deathbed that he was the Zodiac Killer. However, there is also no evidence supporting her claims, and many experts have cast doubt to her story. Lawrence Kane was another suspect. He was a military veteran who was known to be a criminal and was investigated as a suspect in the Zodiac Killer's case. He had a history of violence and had been discharged from the military after being diagnosed with a personality disorder. He also lived in the same area where some of the attacks had took place. However, there is once again no solid evidence linking him to the crimes. We have Ted, I can't pronounce his surname. He was also a Unabomber who was briefly considered as a suspect in the case due to similarities in his own style of bombing and the Zodiac Killer's crimes. However, he was eventually ruled out as a suspect. Was still going. Ross Sullivan, he was mentally there's no nice way to describe people. He was a mentally ill man who had a history of violent behavior and was known to have been in the area where one of the killings had took place. He also resembled a police sketch of the killer. However, there is no hard evidence linking him to the crimes. Otto Roy Marshall was a school teacher who was investigated as a suspect in the Zodiac Killer's case. He had a history of violence and had been arrested for assaulting a student. He also resembled the police sketch of the killer. However, there is no solid evidence linking him to the crimes. Orson Welles, he was a famous director and actor who was suggested as a suspect by a journalist who received a letter from the Zodiac Killer claiming to be Welles. However, there is no evidence linking him to the crime. However, none of these individuals, as I've repeated multiple times, at least most of them have been officially cleared, but none of them have been cited as, you know, the killer, and most of their investigation were years ago. So so as of date, there hasn't really been any updates or arrest on who the likely suspect for this murder is, but there have been some killers who have taken inspiration from him, probably a lot, but we're just going to be talking on two. The very first person is his name is Sida, so hopefully that's how you pronounce it. We're going to talk on him, and the second is a Japanese case, Kobe child murderers. So we're just going to quickly brief through both cases, and if you want a more detailed podcast on that, if you want a detailed episode on those, you can let me know. Are you tired of waiting in long lines at the store for your favorite products? Do you want to have access to millions of movies, TV shows, music, and books at your fingertips? Then this is time for you to try Amazon Prime. With Amazon Prime, you can enjoy free and fast shipping, unlimited access to streaming of Prime Video, Prime Music, and Prime Reading, and exclusive deals and discounts. And the best part, you can try it all out for free with Amazon Prime 30-day free trial. Experience the convenience and benefits of Amazon Prime today. Sign up for your free trial with the link below. And Amazon Prime, your one-stop shop for all your entertainment and shopping needs. If you are a fan of movies and TV shows, you won't want to miss out on the Prime Video free trial. With Prime Video, you'll have access to a huge selection of popular movies and TV shows, including award-winning originals like Marvelous Ms. Maisel and The Boys. And with the free trial, you can try out all of these great features for free. So why not give it a try? Sign up for the Prime Video's free trial today and start streaming your favorite movies and TV shows right away. Link in the description below. If you are a student, you are probably always on the lookout for ways to save money. Well, we've got some good news for you. Have you heard of Amazon's Prime Student? It's a special program just for students that offers all the benefits of Amazon Prime plus some extra perks designed specifically for the college life. Right now, you can sign up for a 6-month trial of Amazon Prime Student for free. That's right. You will get all the benefits of Amazon Prime for 6 months at no cost at all. That includes free 2-day shipping on millions of items, access of streaming of thousands of movies and TV shows, and unlimited photo storage. But that's not all. With Amazon Prime Students, you also get access to exclusive student deals and discounts, like up to 90% off textbooks and other school essentials. Plus, you can borrow free Kindle books and get unlimited access to a selection of popular magazines. So why not give Amazon Prime Student a try? With a 6-month trial, you have plenty of time to decide if it's right for you or not. Sign up now and start enjoying all the benefits of Amazon Prime, designed just for students. The link is in the description below. Heriberto Cida was a copycat Zodiac killer who operated in New York City in the 1990s. He was known for his use of a .44 caliber revolver and for sending letters to the police and media. He was born on July 31st, 1967 in New York City. He was the youngest of four siblings and grew up in the Brooklyn neighborhood of East New York. His childhood was marked by poverty and family dysfunction. His father was an alcoholic who frequently abused his mother, and the family was frequently evicted from their homes. Not a good start. As a child, he was described as a loner who had difficulty making friends. He also exhibited violent and aggressive behaviors, such as setting fires and torturing animals. Cida struggled in school and eventually dropped out in the 8th grade. His troubled upbringing and lack of stability likely contributed to his later criminal behavior. However, it's important to note that not all individuals who experience adversities in childhood go on to become violent offenders. Many factors, including genetics, social support, and mental health, can also play a role in the development of criminal behavior. He had an obsession with the Zodiac Killer and had planned to take inspirations from him. In November of 1989, he sent a letter to the city's 9M13 precinct claiming that people were going to be killed. He made mention of certain Zodiac signs in the letters. If you want me to link that letter, just let me know. His first known victim was Mario, I can't pronounce his surname. He was a Scorpio who was shot but survived. Cida wrapped a note reading, "This is the Zodiac Killer's. This is the Zodiac Killer," around the zip gun, and he left it at the crime scene. 3 weeks later, he shot and injured a German Montego. Who was a Gemini, through the liver. In May, Sidan shot a 78-year-old Joey Prince, a Taurus, and left a note by his body. On June 24th, the man sadly died. He sadly died of his injuries, which he had sustained. So initially, they were not going to treat that as a homicide case, but sadly, he did die. By now, the investigative detectives were suspecting that they were dealing with a serial case. Cida went on to send letters listing the victims and their Zodiac signs to 60 Minutes and the New York Post. An operation called Operation Watchdog was then set up to help catch him. On June 19th, he shot a homeless man named Larry, a cancer, who survived. The New York Post received another letter which contained the original Zodiac sign symbol and a list of victims. Some people began suspecting that this had to be the real Zodiac killer, and he also had claimed that he was the real Zodiac killer. But after a lot of forensic analysis, especially with his handwriting, it was deduced that they were not the same people. And the witness description was different from what they had gotten for the original Zodiac Killer. His next attack wasn't until the 1992, when he shot a 39-year-old Patricia Fonte, who was a Leo, with a .22 zip gun. She had grabbed onto him, causing him to stab her 100 times. Damn. He never waited till the next year, when he attacked three people, one of whom died. They were Jim Weber, a Libra, Joseph Diacon, a Virgo, and also the one whose encounter was fatal, Diane, and sorry, no, let's do that again. So he had waited till the next year when he attacked three people, one of whom died. They were Jim Weber, a Libra, Joseph Darkon, this is the person who died, he was a Virgo, and Diane Bullard, who was a Taurus. On May 10, 1994, Zeta was arrested for being in possession of a zip gun because it was incorrectly labeled, though no forensic, it wasn't taken to the forensic lab to be tested. So on June 10th, he shot a man. He was released, obviously. So on June 10th, he shot a man non-fatally, but the attack wasn't reported. The victim was never officially identified. On August 1st, the New York Post received another letter from him. It contained a list of the victims of the 1992 and 1993 case, and as well as a strange totem pole code and a phrase which I quote, "Sleep, my little dead, how we loot them." On June 18, 1996, he was living with his mom and his teenage house half-sister by the name of Gladys. Gladys had brought her boyfriend over and was with him in her room, and apparently this angered Sida because he began threatening them with a weapon. The guy, the girl's boyfriend, hid in her room while she tried running for the front door to get help. On her way out, he shot her. So some sources say he shot her on the back, while some people say he shot her on her butt. But he shot her. Luckily, she was able to run to the neighbor's house and call for the police. When the police came, I think they sent about 13 or 17 people to apprehend him, and he didn't want to go, so he started shooting at them. A whole standoff ensued, but finally he surrendered himself and allowed himself to get arrested. This obviously didn't link him though to all the other murders that I just finished listing right now. But when he wrote down his confession for the shooting, he signed it with the three sevens and the zodiac cross, similar to what he used in his letters. This then made him a suspect. In June of 1998, Tida was sentenced to 83 and a half years, meaning he wouldn't be eligible for parole until he was 113. In a separate trial, he was sentenced to 152 and a half years for his attempted murders. He is still serving his sentence and spent his time reading the Bible and citing scriptures to other inmates. And finally, we have the Kobe child murders. So this person, as of time of the crime, there was an underage crime, and in Japan they're like very strict with privacy of underage victims. So a lot of details about his childhood weren't disclosed, and I just want to give a quick disclaimer. I'm obviously not good at pronouncing English words, so I would obviously mess up Japanese words, so just bear with me. I would leave a list of all the names I made reference to in the description. Hopefully you'll be able to identify them for my bad pronunciation. But yeah, let's just jump in. So the perpetrator in this case went by different names. He went by Shinkiro Azuma. He went by Saito Sakabara. He went, so I think Shinkiro, to be honest, I got a bit confused. I know Sakabara was one of the names he said he wanted to be addressed as in one of his letters. We'll get to that later on. I feel Shinkiro is his original name. Most of the articles I read refer to him as Boy A. But yeah, he was the Kobe school killer. He was a Japanese killer who used the symbol of the zodiac killer as his signature. For years, his real name remained hidden for cause of crime. Like I said, he was very, very young at the time, but I think he was 14 years old when he committed almost every single crime, which I was going to talk about. Starting with his first one, so at age 12, he was stated to have been displaying acts of animal cruelty and also carrying cutting like knives and other cutting devices on him, saying it helped ease his irritation. Starting sometime on February, he assaulted three schoolgirls within a 2-month span. March 16 was when he committed his first murder. He had killed 10-year-old Ayaka Yamashita. After the March 16th attack, he wrote in his diary, I quote, I carried out secret experiments today to confirm how fragile human beings are. I brought the hammer down when the girl turned to face me. I think I hit her a few times, but I was too excited to remember. The following week on March 23rd, he added, I quote, this morning my mom told me, poor girl, the girl attacked seems to have died. There is no sign of my being caught. I thank you, Bamoy for this. Please continue to protect me. So I feel like from like this fitting, I read, I feel he had like he was linking what he was doing to some type of, I don't want to say, but like as if it's like some type of religious sacrifice. I wouldn't know, to be honest. I didn't really find much as well, but from his diary it just seems as if he was like making sacrifices to this godhead. I'll just spell it, is BAMOIDO with like a slash on top of the O, KISHIN. That was the person who he was praying for protection to, so I don't know if that affected his case in any way. But yeah, on May 27, 1997, the head of an 11-year-old June Hayes, a student at Tainohata Elementary School, was found in front of the school gate hours before students arrived for classes. Hase had been apparently beheaded with a knife 3 days prior, to the head being found, with further mutilations being done before being left at the front of the school. A note written in red pen was found stuffed in his mouth, identifying the killer as Sakai Kibara. The note read, I quote, "This is the beginning of the game. You police guys, stop me if you can. I desperately want to see people die. It's a thrill for me to commit murder. A bloody judgment is needed for my years of great bitterness." He kept in touch with the media via letters, one of which he sent on June 6th, where he named himself as Sakaibara Seito and threatened that more murders were to come. The media has misreported his name as Onibara, which enraged him and caused him to send another letter threatening that he would kill 3 quote-unquote vegetables per week should there be another misconception of his name. On June 28th, he was then arrested as a suspect for Junhei's murder. He also confessed to the murder of Ayaka Yamashita, and the assault of the 3 other schoolgirls. He was then charged for his crimes and sent to juvenile detention. On March 11, 2004, it was announced that Azuma, who was now 21 years old as at that time, was going to be released on provisional basis, then will be fully released on January 1st of the following year. The announcement was met with a lot of criticism, rightfully so, with many stating that due to the unusual sudden revelation, he shouldn't be released and should be sent to prison instead. The release went on exactly as planned, however, so he's currently working freely. I haven't really seen much update on his recent time, so the last update I have on him was since 2004. But yeah, hopefully he hasn't killed anyone yet. If you want a full video on this case, you could also let me know. So yeah, I would be sure to keep you all updated if any new updates are found on the cases of the Zodiac Killer or on his identity. And if you want a more detailed video on the 2 copycat cases, you can let me know. Also, if you want to keep following this podcast, you can check me out on Spotify at Creepy Pasta with Praise, or on almost any other podcast streaming platform you use. Just search Creepy Pasta with Praise. On TikTok, we are at CPWPRAISE. We are also using the same username on Instagram and YouTube. That is CPWPRAISE. Creepy Pastor with Praise. But yeah, that's all for now. But the story never truly ends. Keep your eyes open, your mind sharp, and your heart compassionate. Until next time, this is Praise signing off.